Hello and welcome to Sunparks Podcast. My name is Pogalo Lebeya. In this episode of Sunparks Podcast, we tell a story of a group of 10 people embarking on a Tusker's Quest, which is part of the Imagine Tusker's project in the Kruger National Park. It is a three-day project where at the end of each day, we get to hear what the experiences were, how many Tuskers or potential Tuskers were spotted, and what to expect the next day. At the end of the 3 day, we get to hear what everyone has learned in this project and what they are hoping to see in the next coming Tusker's Quest. Please join us as we get to hear if whether they did see a Tusker or more Tuskers.
Hello, my name is Kirsty Redman. I'm the interpretive officer based at the Letaba Rest Camp at the Elephant Hall. Today, on the 28th of November, we are currently embarking on what we're calling loosely the Tusker's Quest. It's part of the Tusker's Project, which I'm in charge of. We're a group of about 10 people, which includes Richard Sowry, one of the section rangers in the Kruger National Park, as well as Nadret Sadova from head office. She's our manager e-business. And we've also brought along for the ride some of our honorary rangers from the virtual region, in particular DeLeon Preston and Rosemary Hancock. And these are guys who are actively helping us on the forums and on the Facebook pages with the Tuskers projects. Yeah, as everybody knows with the project, we are being very careful about locations. We're obviously trying to protect our big Tuskers. So we're not going to give you too many specifics about exactly where we are, but we are heading up to one of our big lookout points where we are able to see the open plains. And we'll specifically be looking for where the elephant movements are, in the hopes that we can actually pinpoint one of our big Tuskers. In the event, then we'll come down off the kopjes and we'll see if we can't locate him on the ground, and then we'll happily be able to report that we've been able to tick at least one Tusker off the list.
How did you see that?
Okay, so that reservoir, you can see the three distinct rings on it. Each is a meter, so that's 3 meters. And you can then get shoulder height.
Okay.
For those guys.
So they're about 3 meters.
The one at the top has been, yeah, you can see the one at the top, halfway to the bottom. From there. You've not got a far looker.
On my bed, ready to go.
Your bed? Yeah, that's more of a useful home. There.
I remembered most things this morning. And
got it. Yeah, but they're all young. So if you look at them age-wise, the little dude on the left, probably sitting around about 15, I'd say, somewhere there.
Okay.
The dude on the right next to him, I'd put 25 to 30, closer to 30 year class, that's 27 to 30.
Okay.
And the oak on the right, I'd put early 20s to 25, 22.
And all bulls, Richard?
Yeah, all bulls.
Even the little youngster at 15 would be at the herd already,
yeah.
Normally, or
it could be a bit older than 15.
Okay, no, just
yeah,
one
but
thing I noticed in the last few years with the drought, the bulls are leaving the herd a lot younger. The last few years we've seen a lot of these young guys.
Why? So that they don't have competition with each other?
Well, I think just the bulls on the breeding herd. Once they go, the bulls
head.
Do they have a senior amongst the senior bull, sort of a hierarchy?
Yeah, that young oak's probably looking towards the bigger guys. But these are not really. So if there's a cow in estrus, these guys are not going to be doing any work. They're too young.
Looking at this reservoir, and that was one of the unique things about
out of a reservoir because they don't. They've got a flat section at the bottom of the system dragging.
The guy that's just come around is on the left there now. If you have a look at the thickness of his ivory, he's around close to 50, those two.
Okay.
We're going to have a look closer.
It probably was the Shinoah tribe 100 plus years ago before.
Okay.
You would have to, 100 years ago, you had to have the water of that river. Yes, there had to be good pools in the year line. So people probably lived here when it was good times. And it was tough, they bugged it off. I mean, right now, you couldn't. There's no water here. You'd have to go to that stream and look at it.
And then the other side is, you say the Limpopo
National Park.
The Kruger National Park is the Transfrontier Park.
Yeah, so part of the Greater Limpopo, GLTFCA, Greater Limpopo Transfrontier Conservation Area, is Kruger and that. That's Limpopo National Park, Mozambique.
Okay.
I'll show you the map when you get back and you'll see on it.
Okay. So as the animals, they just cross however they want to.
Yeah, they do, but you can imagine, you must think like an animal. So most are pretty water dependent.
Yes.
So if there's no water there, they're not going to be there. They want to be
where
there's no water.
Okay.
And one of the TFCA agreements was that you may not put in artificial water 10 kilometers from the border. So then, either that side or this side. Yeah, like dams and stuff. So you're not, so not one's not trying to pull the game to their side, yeah. Well, they walk then. We hope so.
That's what we're doing next time.
Okay, arise, you're going to get off your.
Okay.
Out of your fear. By the end of this trip, you're not going to be seen.
Adorable, though. Look at that.
If he chases us, you stop. You stop. Okay, stone, you stop. Turn off. Now he's pretending he's doing something else. You see that? It's called displacement baby. Embarrassing. No, he's fine. This is a baby.
Oh, the little white part. Oh, you ain't seen
it.
Let's go.
Oh, shame, look at his head, look at the object!
Just that.
No, this is a little guy, but for his age, he's actually very tall.
Yeah.
So he's going to be a bigger thing, so.
He's going to have the last lot of
So, of course, quarter is, hey, pop out the left door, look around the back, we don't say how's it. Yes, and then the left one would ramp the horizon. Shame, man.
In that picture of Ivan waving his rifle the wrong way around.
Yeah.
Made the Facebook a game the other day.
That was in Minor Pools. That was Ivan and Stretch. I just got the gun holding the barrel and tapping it with the butt.
Tapping the elephant with the butt.
Yeah. He's got to pop the barrel and he's waving it upside down.
Good evening. My name is Richard Sowry. I'm section ranger in Kruger National Park. I've been here since 2002, so it's just over 15 years. Today I joined the group on the quest for tuskers in the northern part of the Kruger Park. We left Letaba camp early. Yesterday was a cloudy day, pretty cold. There was not much sign of ellies around, so we drove north from Letaba. We didn't find much feeding sign or dung balls or tracks or anything. So we were north of the Letaba River. Even at the waterholes there was not much. When we got to a bit of a vantage point where we could see over the Mapani shrub, we started seeing a couple of bull elephant out in the short Mapani. And we weren't picking up what they were doing. They were either looking for food or water, and they move with rainfall events and changes in the seasons, and we weren't picking anything of that up. About midday we got towards Mapani, and then we got on a 10-seater and went up onto the Lubombos, and we looked over the plains over Tihongunyin area, which is a great area for tuskers. We drove there via Mapani Moiplas Windmill. We had a view of a couple of young bulls, young, and you could see they had a lot of potential, that tusks were getting on the biggish side. From the mountains, we saw a couple of breeding herds and bulls moving, but as the day heated up, we headed towards water, out at Tihongunyin, and we saw a couple of nice bulls, big bulls, young, guys 35 to 40, with tusks that you could see in the future would get really big. And as the day cooled down, the ellies melted back into the bush, and we ended up here back at Tonana camp, which is near Mapani, just having a sundowner.
All right, it's Kirsty here again. We're at the end of day one of the Tuskers quest. We've had a very interesting day. We've seen an incredible amount of elephants. I think the general knowledge that's been passed around throughout the group has been fantastic, and I think people are learning a lot. Sadly, no massive guys, but we're certainly on the right track. We will be moving out of the area tomorrow, so we're going up north, and hopefully we will start finding some of the bigger guys. I think we got a good idea today of what time we can start expecting to see them, so we can plan accordingly in terms of moving into a new area.
I'll be honest, I've learned a hell of a lot in the last...
There's the sun here.
Yesterday. I thought I knew a lot about elephants, and... clearly I didn't. I've been coming to Kruger Park, not like you guys or Richard or Kirsty, but I've been around elephant all my life, and coming to Kruger, your bulls are far bigger in body and plus weight than generally than in Zimbabwe. So I've always looked at your elephant like the elephant we saw today, and I thought they were getting towards the end of their lifespan. And they're not at all, absolutely not at all, because they're so much bigger than ours. I automatically assumed that their growth and everything, they were almost there, they were fully mature. Not at all. And those elephants that we saw today, not a single one of them was anywhere near his full potential. So, yeah, I mean, it's fantastic. The genetics here in Kruger absolutely amazed me. I used to come here just to look specifically for big bulls like Duke and Swanganini and Alexander. Those were the three that I knew well. And it's just fantastic to see these young, which I didn't realize were young, but these young up-and-coming bulls that are going to just keep this whole Kruger Tusker thing going forever and a day. It's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, what I was just going to say to add on to what you guys both said it. For me, one of the biggest things to come out of what I want to come out of this week is that understanding, because you guys are the face of the forum. You know, you, as I call you, my bodyguards, because you deal with the public. And it's, as much as the Tusk is a wonderful marketing tool, and it's amazing for people to come look for them, there's a huge research value to this. And we're not just running around looking at elephants with big tusks. There's so much more to it. There's a background to it, and it's, there is so much value in the data we are collecting. So to actually have that information not stay with us or come to us is to me, it's inconceivable that people only want to do it just because it's something pretty to look at. That lack of understanding that it's a research project, it's a registered research project. We report on it, we've got a database on it, and I think that's what people really actually don't understand, that I've got documentation going as far back as the early 80s of all the tuskers that have been in the park. I mean, it's phenomenal, the information and the trends you can pick up and the movements and what you're actually seeing from as far back as the Magnificent Seven, and how you've actually got this fluctuation in your tuskers, the fact that why they're in the north, then why in the 90s were they in the south, and why they moved back to the north. You know, there's so many drivers that people just don't understand. It's, for me, it's an opportunity now to actually try and get that knowledge out
there. Here's an interesting anecdote for the day. So there's an unpublished paper. It's still in draft format by Ian White. And they looked at tusk growth rate over the years and how it changes as elephant get older. And in the last sort of 10 years of its life, when they get to their last set of teeth, the growth rate starts to increase and almost go exponential. So you plot all of that on a graph. Look at the big tuskers in the hall, and you'll note that all of them in the hall are over 50 years of age, generally up to 55. So if you plot all of that on a graph, and you look at the average tusk weight of the 50-year-old elephant, not those that are 55, but just a 50-year-old elephant, the average tusk weight of a 50-year-old elephant in Kruger Park, 95 pounds per side in tusk weight. We saw some up and comings. Probably the biggest we thought we saw was probably about an 80 pounder. So we didn't see anything. But then today we probably saw an elephant. The oldest was around about a 35 year old. So that's the thing in Kruger. As these elephants get older, we will see more and more bigger tuskers because the genetics is here. So you can't say, oh, they are disappearing. They're just young. And Kruger's got potential in years going forward to see, many more big tuskers. But if they're going to get to the age of what we see in the hall, which is 55, we will really see big tuskers. But in the last few years, what's noticeable is that the elephant that we see being killed by other elephant, it's mostly early 50s. They're not getting as old as they were in the 80s. And it's usually bull conflict fighting with each other. And that's just because they're more elephant, more young fighters out there. Now, that's just a product of the population in the farms.
You get into it.
I
really and it pushed it off over there behind us. So about from that T junction we've just come past to about nearly a kilometre back, it was just flowing over the road to the camp straight. So it cut the corner and then it came back onto the river.
You see which one is this one?
Look at the heights where the
floods.
Other one is Pongol.
And where does that one run from? The Pongol? How far?
They're both from the western border of the park.
All the way from the western border. Okay.
Yeah, but the Pongol goes up. No, the Pongol.
What's the point of Sereni?
Huh?
The dam that breached. What is that on? Is that on the Pongol?
I think that's the Pongol, yeah. But then into the Pongol comes the Pugwan and things like that. Okay. And into the Shingwezi comes the Babut.
And was that a hurricane, or was it just an exceptional rain?
It was just an exceptional rain, but also what was bad is we'd had very dry years. So there was no grass cover and a runoff just. These are Inyalas and Jackalberries. We'll have to get that's a Jackalberry. That's a Jackalberry. Sometimes known as a Transvaal Mahogany. That's a Leadwood there.
Which is Leadwood? The big one on the.
Yeah, that one is a Leadwood. Which is the peel the salt soil. It's a very shallow soil, and over years of water infiltrating through it, it's formed quite a heavy, robust, and it's like a rock, concrete below it. And I'll show you some concrete. This white stuff, white rock on the edge of the road here, that's concrete. So the roots of the Mopani don't get down through the concrete and other trees. And on the basalts, the grasses grow very well, so the fires are pretty hot when they get through here. So all of that keeps the Mopani in this shrub belt or stunted form. When we get closer to the rivers, we get onto the deeper alluvial soils, and then the Mopani grows into a full tree. That's basically why there's a difference. Yeah. So the fire keeps it down, the depth of the roots, and the Mopani is also able to extract water out of this. The soils, the surface of the soil with an efficiency pretty close to grasses. So it can compete one-on-one with the grasses. Lily?
Right on the horizon.
That's where the soil's been. Yeah, it's got through, yeah. And then it's also got out, the soil's deeper, but it's also, so it's got its roots through, and it also has to get out of the fire trap. Because all of this is still too low. The fire sweeps through here, resulting in and you'll see coppicing again from the base of the Mopani is coming up.
It gets higher than that.
Now this is very good felt. If you're an elephant bull and you are not sensitive to exposure to the sun, this is not a problem. They get out and they feed on these open plains, but you don't really see the cowherds out in the heat of the day, and especially the summers on the plains, because the calves are really more sensitive to the sun.
That is an emission,
yeah? And, so it's really a great bull elephant area. And it's interesting with buffalo on these plains out here, because the buffalo are pushing between the Mopanis all the time and getting the more nutritious grasses are growing in the shade of the Mopani. And the buffalo are getting in under there. So what you see on the buffalo is they get a notch where the horns sweep down like this, just next to the ears, because they're pushing it past their faces, past the things. They get a notch in the horn here and a notch here. I've got a set of horns.
Same grass, that grass in there,
same. So you get a notch from the Mopanis, and then you know that buffalo came out of the Mopani. Felt the shrub Mopani grass. Way up there, but he's moving.
He's on the
move. Okay, where he's going to, just over the hill, is a waterhole called Mairi Sangari.
Going left or right?
Right to left. Okay. Both come from hunting animals, not from photography or game viewing or anything like that. It's all about hunting and tuskers as well. When you shot somebody of that stature, 100 pounder, that was where the word tusker comes from. So it is associated with hunting.
But you get it recorded and classed as a big tusker.
Yeah,
he would be with one tusker.
He would be classified as a 100-pound elephant, whether he's got one or two tuskers in there. See, some tusks are long and very thin, and they will get to that weight. And then others are short, very thick, and they'll get to that weight of 100 pounds. So the original record book was Roland Ward, and it was not so much really about hunting, it was about natural history and measuring outstanding specimens within the natural environment. And then as time went on, it became more about hunting, and it was, you know, in those days, the 100 pound was a mark. Got a stump on it a little bit. Yeah.
The greatest achievement today.
Minnesota.
I met a bull going the other way and they stopped to have it.
I think you should go forward. Well, there's no gap in this. See how it is, you're just looking at elephant out there and then one of them has just got a big piece of ivory sticking out. It's the same as all the rest. He's not a particularly big elephant, this one.
You know,
thank you.
One on the left.
One on the
That big square out there from his left ear is very diagnostic.
Yeah.
Someone got some photographs of that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just that ear. The grass knot can grow and break off.
Look
at his the lip hanging, sticking over the tusk, and see how that is much more. It's longer and almost flabby in a way compared to the guy on the right here.
Okay.
Look at that lip over the much longer lip over the.
This tusk. Is at the point at which I would look at naming. So he's got nice length on him, but he could get better.
So that's an age thing, that's not always a tusker thing, that lip thing, but that's an age thing.
Yeah.
So this elephant is, with that size ivory, he's going 45 and over. And it's pretty hard to get more accurate than that, other than if you've known him for the last 5 years, then you can work on those age assumptions plus five.
I'll check the files when I get there.
I can definitely see that grass not there.
Mm. Yeah. But Masasana breaks and reforms his regularly. So some photos he doesn't have them, other photos he does.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Nice, more like it. Now, next one can be named, please.
There's an interesting pattern on the forehead. There's two
not much,
creases that cross. But look at that right tusk, and look at the elephant and picture the tusk going all the way to inside the eye.
Left lobe.
Both
lobes?
the hours are not really good.
Clarity
is phenomenal. The Bennett's woodpecker calling in the background there. You see, there's a little hole on his right here.
Yeah, both his tusks. He has the same shape as all.
That's a pretty good photo for what the ear profiles look like. That's also going to be a bus.
I think he's awesome.
See how he actually goes around us, because we were here first. That's how it works in the brain. So if you come at us, he walked us, he's their best, and we were here first. If you get in his way, then we're the aggressor. So he just wrapped us around us. May do, may not. Let's see, it's just peacefully cruised on.
How thick do you reckon he is with the...
Cool. What are you thinking? I'd put him 19 to 20, eh? Degree? So now what we're looking at is the circumference of the tusk at the lip. So that is 18 inches.
Okay. And you're estimating him.
That is 18. That's 18.
You're estimating he's more than that.
That's 18.
Probably
18, 19. Yeah. I think he's a bit more... Sorry? No? We're behaving ourselves, we are good. We're not ready to go. We've spent 2 days looking for this. That's 18. I would... inches. That I would go 19 to 19 and a bit. Okay, so... there's a couple of methods of the traditional measured method is whatever's sticking out from the lip in feet times the circumference of the lip. And then some areas you minus 10%, or others you leave it as is, or other areas and age classes you would add 10%. So for this, if you're going to apply that to him, you're going to add 10%. So what have we got sticking out there? 18 inches of the lip. So every inch of ivory from the tip, and you must understand what's going on into the head, is 1 pound. So if you've got 100 inches there,
from the lip to the pinky,
he's 18 inches of the lip, from the tip to the eye. So if you're looking there and you're saying from the... So what's that? That's 100 inches. And a half meters. So is there 2.5 meters of ivory there from his eye to the tip? I would say so. Okay. And he is 19 at the tip, so then you're going to say he's 10 to 100 feet. If you look at what's in the hall, working elephant and estimating ivory with
Wait, does anyone want to drink?
Oh, I'm fine.
Okay. I'll have some water. Thanks. Side of his feet, you can see the patterning and the wear of the cracks. Okay. You can go forward, please. Yeah, we can go forward and behind it.
Would these guys have been like buddies for like weeks or months or years or
days?
Yeah.
Okay, so we left Mopani pretty late at about 7 o'clock and we headed north towards Shingwedzi. It was pretty dry the first bit. Then it greened up. They'd obviously had a bit of rain about halfway and we started seeing a couple of elephants. Then it got dry again towards Shingwedzi and no elis again. Got ourselves settled in and headed out north. And we discovered a lot of elephants out in the plains between Shingwedzi, particularly towards Babalala and that Boyela waterhole just to the south of Babalala. There were a lot of elephant on the plains with herds, small herds and numerous bulls. And we saw one very nice single-tusked elephant at Babalala. Yeah, had a good day. Came back via the Mpongo Loop and saw two large bulls, both in the region 35 years plus. The one was probably in the early 40s, age-wise, but short, broken tusks. And then this afternoon we went down Kanido Damway, very little sign, no tracks, no dung balls, no sign of elephant. Yeah, so tomorrow we will head back north again and try and hopefully find some elephant that we missed that would have been around those waterholes today before we got there. Done.
Yeah, as Richard says, it's been an interesting day. Sadly, no big tuskers. But it's certainly been an interesting day. As I say, the single tusker we found was certainly quite impressive. So we'll have to go back to the books and see if we can figure out who he is. And it's been a good one. Tomorrow is it. We will find somebody with the tusks.
Nobody.
I don't mind who. We will find somebody. Be positive. Tomorrow it is.
Another wonderful day in the Kruger Park. Saw plenty of elephant. Lots of up-and-coming tuskers, which is very encouraging. The genetics here are unbelievable for someone who doesn't see it as often as most of you. Absolutely fantastic. And seeing the single tusk bull that was absolutely majestic, beautiful animal. Fantastic day. Looking forward to tomorrow.
Wonderful experience being with people who really know what's going on, people with experience and who live this life with passion and have a passion for all of this. It's just a fantastic experience.
Today was a hot day, but a good day. We, together with a fun group of people, and we've seen lots of ellies and learning about them each day. Unfortunately, no big tuskers, but it was good overall.
Bulgaria.
The only thing I can say is echo Neil's sentiments. Learned a lot, and I've just got to swap with somebody else in the truck so I can tan my other arm. And that's it, basically. Had a great day.
It's been an amazing day. I've learned so much from the guys that work in Kruger, that work with on the Tusker project. It's been absolutely awesome. Priceless.
Well, I must say I've gone through another round of education myself. I always thought that birders were the most weird breed of people, but tuskers specialists really beat them by far. And it's been an eye-opening experience in all respects, this light-hearted yet extremely scientific approach to following tuskers and recording them and piling information about them year after year after year. It's a phenomenal experience, and I am humbled to watch how my colleagues at Sunparks do this. So I take my hat off to them, and I will never, ever, ever look at another elephant the same way again.
Okay, for me, I'll say tomorrow is another day, another opportunity for us to see a tusker, and I'm positive we're going to see a tusker or two or three. Sure. Okay. Camera ready?
As a good South African, I experienced something very rare today. I compromised meat over vegetables on the braai. I have never cooked vegetables before meat in my life. And I suppose today, it was a first.
You were outnumbered.
And it might not be repeated again.
Maybe next time we come in, you'll be a vegetarian.
Yeah, that I want to see.
Bad job, sir.
And don't think so.
November 27th.
What did you say? I'm O positive. I'm under.
So I like that meat. Means you need to eat meat.
Yeah, you get converted
meat. You have to put that in, boss.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Richard Sari. This is the last day of the Tusker quest. This morning we went south towards Red Rocks. There was very little elephant activity out there. We did see what is thought to be the biggest leadwood in the park down there, which was really great to see. It's still in good nick. Then we went north up to Babalala and beyond. It was overcast this morning, so elephants weren't that active early on, but later it got a bit more active and we saw a lot of bulls associated with all the water points up to Babalala and north of Babalala and the springs and on that Shisha River. We saw a really nice elephant, early 40s, really big tusks. The one thing that did strike us today was that the fantastic genetics that is in this park. We heard of a big bull that had been around the Babalala area, but it moved off as those big bulls are very shy and tend to spend time on their own. What I hope to see in future years of the Tusker Project is just keep monitoring these big elephant, having a look at the dynamics within the population and the age classes and structures within the elephant population, because that will ultimately reveal as to what we could expect out there in terms of big elephant, because big tusked elephant are old elephant, and the oldest elephant we saw probably was the one we saw yesterday, late 40s, but that was that very big single tusked ellie. Good.
Hi, Bill Bedford. I've managed to attach myself to this fantastic group. I've been fortunate enough to come to Kruger many times, but not for probably 10 years. I just have to tell you all that the legacy of the Kruger Bulls is alive and well. And what we have seen on this trip is that the up-and-coming bulls are absolutely fantastic. There are numerous bulls that are going to reach that wonderful 100-pound mark, and that your children and grandchildren are going to benefit from that, and they're going to be very privileged like we have been to see these bulls. Don't worry about the Tuskers of Kruger, they're alive and well. Thank you very much.
Hi, the name's Tony, I'm the stupid one. But I think I'm a bit cleverer by the end of these couple of days. I've learned to identify whether buffalo are 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old, and whether elephants are 50-pounder, 75-pounder, or getting close to 100-pounder. From next week, I'll be looking for quarter-pounders again at McDonald's. But, yeah, it's been very enjoyable, and hopefully I can impart the little bit of knowledge I have learned to others in the future. Cheers, bye.
Hi, my name is Nedret Seydova, and I'm the senior manager for e-business at Sunparks. My involvement here is a cheerleader, coordinator, facilitator, and a supporter to a great bunch of people that are truly heartfelt about Tuskers and about... and about what legacy these species will leave behind if we manage to preserve them, that is. And I have gone through a schooling of the within these 3 days that made me eat humble pie about what it means to manage this land, and you know, including flora, fauna, including the tuskers. And my interest in this is to link, to bridge the worlds, like our tireless volunteers, the virtual honorary rangers, and how they can help Sandparks and my colleagues at Sandparks, who are always short of resources, but they themselves working tirelessly on these projects and trying to make things happen, you know, make the best with very, very little that we have at our disposal on all levels. And it's been an absolute, absolute privilege, although I still think I'm probably the, you know, even more stupid than Tony was. on the subject, I think, Tony, you're actually very bright, so please don't say that. I'm definitely a city girl, and this taught me a lot about what, how much goes behind the scenes about maintaining this place here, and I am truly humbled. So if there's one way I can, in which I can support this in the future, is try and remain an active link between the different parties, and at least really be offer as much, you know, really support on many levels as. Yes, and I can definitely see a need for greater online presence in terms of enabling public to submit information on the tuskers. Possibly coming, if all goes well, through a mobile app on the Sandparks site. That can be downloaded, and that with one click, pretty much people can submit information on the tuskers that the authorities like Kirsty can make use of. And that in the background was not me and my body parts. It was a hippopotamus right in the water. So that is how... That is exactly, that's where we are. We are in the Kruger Park, and you folks get to hear it all. So, anyway, looking forward to future projects. Thank you.
Okay. I'm Delene Preston, chairperson of the Virtual Honorary Rangers. I feel privileged to have been involved in this project and spent the past few days with real experts in the field. I have learned so much about tuskers, and also about how the park is managed, about how the park needs to be managed for, just to ensure that it survives for future generations. I feel proud that our park is in hands of very competent, passionate, absolutely passionate people. And I would like to encourage everybody to support these people. If you see, not only on the Tusker project, but because this is for... It related to the Tuskers project specifically. On this project, if you should see elephant in the park, if you need any information about it, please submit your pictures to Sandparks. Please support this project. We need to support these guys, build their database.
Hi, I'm Rosemary Hancock. I'm also a member of the VHRs and a forum assistant for on the Sandparks forum. I can just agree with what Delene has said here. The last 3 days has been an absolute education. I feel very fortunate to have been part of it. I've learned so much about tuskers, about the felt they occur in. And my aim would be to pass what I've learned on to others on the forum and on the Sandparks pages. Facebook pages, and I think it's vital that the information is passed on to the Sandparks team. The visitors out there that are spotting the tuskers, they should know how fortunate they are to even see one of them, and the information is vital, and I can't stress how important it is to pass all that on to the team so that this project can grow. I feel the guys that are out there that are doing all this, our Tuskers, our Kruger Park, is in excellent, excellent hands. The guys are fantastic. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Neil Preston, husband of one of the more serious people here, who came just as an observer. But I can only support everything they've said. Kruger's a very special place, and it takes special people to manage it and look after it. And there are lots of those people, yeah, doing a tremendous job. It's been 3 days of, as Rasmi said, education. I don't think it's much more I can say, but except that we need the Kruger, it needs to be looked after, and it's being looked after by dedicated people. Thanks.
Hi, good evening. My name is Rihanna Adamsa. I work at the Elephant Museum in the Letaba Rest Camp. The last 3 days have been really educational. We've seen a lot of beautiful places and lots of ellies, with some of them having the potential to become tuskers. The Tuskers Project, I think, is a real benefit for Kruger Park, and I hope we will have lots of visitors benefiting from this project and enjoying these magnificent animals. They are really impressive and special. Thanks.
Okay. Hi, this is Kirsty Redmond. I'm the interpretive officer at Letaba. I'm also the coordinator of the Tuskers Project. We are officially at day three. It's over. It's very sad to be ending the Tuskers quest. And I suppose everybody will ask whether it was a success or not. And I think at the end of the day, it's been hugely successful, primarily in that the people who assist greatly and who are invaluable to the project in various forms on our social media apps from head office have had the opportunity now to actually see what it's all about, to actually come down to the Kruger Park and realize that it's not just about the photos. And I mean, unfortunately, we did not find the named bulls, which would have been, I think, the cherry on the pie of the Tuskers quest. But we've had an amazing experience. We've been very lucky to be joined by Richard Sowry, the section ranger at Kingfisher Sprait, whose wealth of knowledge on ivory and elephants has been an eye-opener, even for someone like myself who's been working on the project for about 12 years. So I think we're all going away from this much richer, and I'm looking forward to planning the next Tuskers quest, where we've got a few tricks up our sleeves to hopefully improve our chances of finding some of these named guys who are quite elusive. And I think if we've nothing else, we've proved that for anybody out there who's managed to see these magnificent creatures, you are very lucky. It's not that easy to find them. And I think when you do get that opportunity, enjoy it. It's something special, it's unique, and it's certainly something that we want to see surviving for the next generations. Till next time.